Well, good afternoon, Tim, and good afternoon to all of our listeners for another week of NBC Connects, this one being kind of the first one outside of our 40 Days with Jesus journey for 6 weeks or so, Tim, isn't it?
It's been amazing, hasn't it? 6 weeks ago, when we started all this, and here we are now, still doing it. So thank you for listening, if anybody's still listening, of course. Because we don't really know, do we?
Well, we see around 100 plus listens through our website.
Wow.
And then there's all sorts of listens from other sources. So it's probably a lot higher. We know there's at least 50 through iTunes.
So what other sources are they, Tom?
Tomato,
there we go. Brown, chili. what is your favourite sauce, Tom?
Well, let me tell you, for lunch today, Tim, I had a sausage ciabatta with... red sauce. So red sauce is easily my sauce of choice. I'm partial to barbecue sauce, but not on a bacon sandwich or anything like that.
Okay.
It's a bit like the I'm not sure we're supposed to say what radio station, but there's a radio station, isn't there, with
yes.
That does on a Saturday morning. Red sauce, brown sauce, no sauce.
Yes.
What would you go for?
Well, I am just a brown sauce man, I'm afraid.
I
dislike tomato sauce. I don't like tomatoes, but then I eat it on pizzas. It's a bit weird, really, isn't it?
Well, I've got a really, really interesting fact about brown sauce that I found out during a kind of virtual pub quiz that I did the other night. What does HP in HP sauce stand for? Do you know the answer to this?
HP. I think it could be the Houses of Parliament.
I think you are absolutely right.
Woohoo!
Genius. Yeah, well done. You didn't give anybody at home a chance to chime in. But yeah, HP sauce is Houses of Parliament sauce.
And there's a picture of the Houses of Parliament on the bottle.
There is. It doesn't mean it's made with members of Houses of the Parliament.
Well, but, that could be an interesting current topical debate, but I don't think we want to talk about that today, Tom.
Yes. No, I don't think we want to talk about it either. But what we do want to talk about is the past kind of week. I don't know if you've been able to engage with the Thy Kingdom Come material at all, Tim.
Yep, well, I've had a good look at it, and it's certainly very interesting. I've certainly come across Thy Kingdom Come over the last few years, but this one in particular is one that I've sort of hooked into. Mm. And it's been really interesting. Every day there's a little video from different speakers about a particular subject that is that subject for the day. There's a Bible reading, some thoughts, and there's a really interesting podcast. I was listening to Tom Wright yesterday, and very good indeed. He's a good guy to listen to. And there's also a family podcast as well. So if you're a family and you haven't hooked in and you're looking for something to do, then it's not too late, obviously, to listen to the family. I haven't listened to the family podcast, but they wanted to gear something to families as well. And if you go on the Thy Kingdom Come website, then you'll find some family material there as well. So yeah, really thoughtfully done, and really encouraging as well. And the heart of it really is to try and pray for five people. And the challenge is to have named five people, and you pray for them every day, and you pray for opportunities, and you pray that God will do a new thing in those people. Five people who don't know Jesus yet, who you'd love them to know Jesus. So it's really got a sort of a feeding element that it's good for you to listen to, but also it's got this outward thing as well. And that is the point of the prayer, isn't it? You know, the point of the Lord's Prayer, yes, is very personal, directed to God, but it's also about this sense of Thy Kingdom Come, Your will be done. We're looking ahead to something that is growing and happening, and lives are being changed. So I think from every point of view, it's... if you've got time, people are engaged in lots of different things, hooking into lots of things. But if you've got a moment, then have a look at the material and you'll see some really helpful stuff there.
So you can find that by searching Thy Kingdom Come in a search engine, or you can head directly to the website www.thykingdomcome.global. They've taken it global this year.
Global.
What a great ending. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it, if we had Newcastle Baptist.global. Anyway, yeah, at the weekend, Tim... Oh, Go on.
No, I was thinking of Dot Universe or something. Dot Universe would be even more, wouldn't it? That would be a bigger vision.
Wow.
But sorry, yes. Anyway.
It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. We said before this that, you know, we're going to be aiming to get back to the 15, 20 minutes of the start. Well, we're already 5 minutes in, so sorry about that. But at the weekend, Tim, we spent some time looking at waiting, and we spoke with Ash and Sarah, who both had different stories to share of how they've been waiting, or in Sarah's case, really a total lack of waiting, as she's been thrust into a whirlwind job up in the hospital over in Stafford. And you shared with us some verses from Acts chapter 1, and I wanted to share them with our listeners this morning, or afternoon, or again, whenever you're listening. then I wanted to just contrast it to a passage that I actually read this morning. So here is Acts chapter 1, and this is starting at verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So this is where we see the disciples. This is where we see them in this moment of waiting. They've obviously gone through what we talked about last week. They've seen Jesus leave them and head up to heaven. And now they are in this period of waiting. And we touched on it a little bit last week. We touched on waiting. I loved hearing your story of being expectant and waiting for a phone call on that exact day last year. It's funny, when I contrast back to what I was doing this time last year, I was in a muddy field down in the south of England at the big church day out. And actually, there are a few other people from church who were there with me, which was quite exciting. But we had a wonderful time. Of course, we've had a leap year this year, so it was a couple of days on. We were kind of packing up and heading home, actually, at this point. On it would have been the Monday, wouldn't it? But we sort of, it's funny when you think of all these things, and I suppose if I contrast a thing of waiting, we waited to leave that car park for, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours or something? Very poorly ran. But it was great to hear last week about when you were waiting for your call. And I guess what it sort of led me to think about is a story from the Old Testament, from the book of Joshua. And the moment that I've sort of picked up on is a moment when people have left Egypt. The Israelites have been wandering in the wilderness for years now, and they finally arrived at this doorstep to the promised land. And yet in front of them, there is one final obstacle, the River Jordan. And the priest carried the Ark across and the waters parted and people got through. Okay, we saw that before with Moses, and it happens again. If you didn't know it happened again, it happens again beautifully at the end of it. God repeated this miraculous moment that their ancestors had experienced a generation earlier at the Red Sea. But what I saw was an interesting little moment that we read about at the very start of Joshua chapter 3. They've got to the edge of the River Jordan. And then it says here in verses 1 and 2 of Joshua chapter 3, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from the Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. And then it goes on to say what the orders were and how they were going to cross. But they had to wait by the side of the River Jordan for 3 days, and they did not know that they were going to have to wait there. I think they assumed they'd just be able to walk across as had happened before. And yet, for some reason, they had to go to a river that at this time of year, it's known to be close to flooding. So they're going to have to camp by a riverside that is flooded. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a flood, Tim. I mean, you're more likely to have seen the sea smashing over the side of the, what would it be, embankments and flood promenade. Defences, the promenade.
The promenade.
But round here, we do have plenty of rivers normally. Mm. And I can remember when I saw in Lyme Valley one time how high the river got, even just this winter during the quite torrential rain that we had in our traditional British winter. And I actually, there was a moment when I got worried because the water had gone so high it was onto the path. Now, I know they'd done a lot of flood defence work, and I wasn't worried about our house. Our house is very high up on the hill. But there was that moment where I thought, you know, goodness me, this river is really high. And I tell you what I wouldn't have done at that point. I would definitely have not set up a tent next to the riverbank and camped there for a night. There is not a chance I'd have done it. But for these people who are on the doorstep of the promised land, they are told that they have to sit and wait by the side of this bulging river. I wonder what it would have been like for them. You know, would the families have seen the children playing right next to this river that at any moment might burst its banks? I just think it's a very easy parallel for us to draw to our current situation, isn't it? It's really easy for us to almost picture this moment of waiting by the side of the riverbank, seeing this river absolutely gushing past and knowing that perhaps at some point we're going to have to cross into it. But also it's a case of knowing that God is going to provide a way for us to work through it, you know.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? This sense of waiting that is throughout the Bible, really, isn't it? You know, there's lots of incidents where you'd think that there would be a solution just on the next page, you know, but then you find they're still waiting, and or people are waiting, individuals are waiting, and never really sure how long they've got to wait. I was thinking of Joseph as well as you were talking. You know, he was sold into slavery by his brothers because they didn't like him, and he had to wait for years, didn't he? He waited for years and years. He was, you know, did okay, and then he was put in prison, and then he had to wait for to be remembered, and then he came out, and then he did the dream thing, and then, you know, that Pharaoh gave him the place, and then he did the whole thing of saving the nation, and there was that waiting time again till the reconciliation with his family, and particularly with his dad, and it is this: how do we wait? You know, how do we wait in the midst of the uncertainty? How do we wait? And I think it was that just got my attention in this story in Acts, really, because as much as we know that it goes from Ascension Day to Pentecost, and there's 10 days. I don't think there's a sense in the Bible that you know, the Holy Spirit was going to be given on the day of Pentecost. You know, Pentecost was a Jewish festival of the harvest, celebrating all that God had given them. So, you know, it does seem the most appropriate time. God has a habit of doing the right things at the right time. But for those 11 that were becoming 12, of course, because they'd already elected a successor, and it says the women and Mary and others were in the room. It's hard, isn't it, to know how long they were going to wait, you know, in 3 days' time. Well, they didn't say that, you know.
No.
Thankfully, it was only 10 days' time. But I love the place they got to in their journey of obedience, that they were just willing, you know, to wait for what God wanted to do, you know. And it wasn't passive. I think when I was researching Sunday's talk, this idea of waiting, the Greek word, it's not passive waiting, it's waiting with expectation. And one commentary likened it, and you'll remember this, Tom, it's a parent waiting up for their teenager to come home.
So sorry, mum and dad.
Parents out there will know what this feels like, and probably most of us have been teenagers, and we've pushed the boundaries a bit as to what the time is. But I think that gives you this extra sense, you know. There's this waiting that they are going to come home, you know, because, you know, I've got to do the laundry for them and they want to eat the next day. And it's that waiting with that expectation and knowing. And I think that these followers of Jesus who were in that room, they knew something was going to happen. You know, their faith level was so high that they knew this was going to happen. And Joseph, I think, he knew something was going to happen. It went on for too many years for him, I'm sure, but he knew it was going to happen. Those guys at the side of the River Jordan, they knew God was going to come through. And it's this growing confidence, isn't it? And this faith where we know God is going to come through because we've read the Bible enough, haven't we? We've heard the stories of other people. We've read the books. We've heard testimony in church when people have got baptized. You know, we know God's going to come through because that's what he promises ultimately. We don't know when, but in the meantime, he asks us to wait. And it is frustrating, isn't it, to wait? So frustrating at times. And some of us we're still waiting for some answers to our prayers. We've been praying for a very long time about people or situations or transformation. But we got to be a people who wait knowing that God's going to come through.
I think it's probably calling it, we need to be a people of God who wait well. We need to know what waiting actually looks like.
Let's wait
like all these other examples. I mean, I find it interesting to sort of reflect back on what God didn't do in a lot of these times of crisis.
God didn't
often reveal an easy way out. Certainly with the Israelites by the River Jordan, he didn't pick up his people in a mighty wind and just drop them onto the other side. He didn't part the Jordan for them as soon as they got there. He didn't ask them to swim and float across and find a miraculous way of creating a safe passage for them. Instead, God chose for his people to wait and watch the flood, and he was inviting them to trust him and his plan with, in that moment, with crossing the river, with Joseph. He was saying to Joseph, I've got a plan for you. And what I also love, I mean, I picked this up when I spoke on it, over a year and a half ago now, that in those passages, in those moments when Joseph was really struggling, and it was often at the end of his period of waiting, there's a beautiful phrase that just keeps coming up. In Joseph's story, it said, and the Lord was with Joseph.
It's good.
So it says that even though Joseph was going through this trouble, even though he was going through this difficult time, he was having to wait, God was with him. God was guiding him. Even when it's difficult to sometimes see God acting, God is with Joseph. He was with the Israelites, and he's with the people, the disciples in the book of Acts. He was with them in this period of time between Ascension and Pentecost. And for each of us, the lesson that's there for us is, I just think it's remarkable. It's great to hear stories of dramatic rescues and incredible miracles, but actually so much of our life is spent when these miraculous things aren't happening. And what we need to remember is that God is with us. He is there waiting with us.
And I think this is part of the Thy Kingdom Come, just to loop back to that a little bit, is you know, many of us have prayed that prayer many times, maybe in that format, maybe in other ways. You know, God, would you bring your kingdom in? Because it'd be great if it came today, really, wouldn't it? It would be. It would solve it, everything. You know, it would solve all my issues, all my prayers would be answered. But that isn't the deal, is it? You know, but the deal is to pray, yeah, Thy Kingdom Come, knowing that it's going to come. You know, and actually praying Thy Kingdom Come does something in me as the person who prays it. Because I'm trying to align myself to God's plans and his purposes. So I put myself in that posture, in that position, where God is going to do something. And those guys up in that room on that particular day, they were positioning, they were in the right place at the right time for what God wanted to do. And they were just open and ready for the next stage of the unfolding of his plans as well. And that's why waiting isn't passive, because all of us are getting on with what we know God wants us to do, the sort of life he wants us to live, the sort of how he wants us to work, how he wants us to relate to other people. We know basically what God wants us to do. It's in the Bible. It's pretty clear. But what we often don't know is the next step. And it's that process of waiting. We wait as a people being shaped by the Spirit, but ready for the next thing as well. And we know when the day of Pentecost came, you know, I love the phrase in Acts 2, and we'll think about this on Sunday a little bit, when it says suddenly, you know, and God could come suddenly because they were ready. And it was like, bang, here we are. This is the moment. And what a joy it is to be able to be in a position to trust God, to trust a God who comes through on his promises at the right time to the right people for his purposes. It's amazing.
And to sort of, as we come into land this morning or afternoon, I lose track of what time people might be listening. I suppose some of this comes into the next steps that we take as a church to kind of keep you in the loop of things. Whilst we're not being naive in not talking about how we'll reopen, there is this real sense that instead of us spending our time kind of frantically strategizing how we're going to cross this flooded river, how we're going to get through the troubles that we've got, what we're trying to do is do the sensible things, put ourselves in the correct position to take steps when we see the clear signs that we're able to do so. But until that point, we're going to keep doing the best that we can in our current situation. We're not focused on how we can socially distance ourselves in church, because we have no idea when that might be. We could spend hours, days, months, we could spend many hours as a group of deacons and leadership team trying to think about this. But actually, I think for us, it's far more important at the moment for us to be focusing and thinking about what we can do with the people that are around us, how we can effectively wait as a church correctly, how we can wait well through this COVID crisis that we're going through. I just think it's a wonderful thing for us to be able to think about, for us to be able to envisage what's coming from afar. You know, we know Pentecost is coming. We know that we're going to be hearing about it at the weekend. And we know from the stories that Joseph was delivered, we know that the Israelites did reach the promised land. And in that moment, they were no longer fearing and they weren't waiting anymore because they'd been delivered. And for us, we know, we all know that we will come through what's going on right now. There is no question that we will be stuck in this situation of being stuck indoors for even the rest of the year, let alone longer. But what we can do is wait well. Find ways of continuing to love your neighbours. Find ways of still reaching out to those who are maybe on the fringes. Share with them what we're putting out there. Share with them about thy kingdom come. I think this is a real opportunity for us, both as a people of God and as a church, to wait well. And we want to come into land today by praying with you, as we love to do so much through our midweek podcasts. And today's prayer, we hope, really speaks into people who are struggling with this idea of waiting.
So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you with our hearts filled by so many different thoughts and feelings. What will happen next? Do I have the strength to handle it? How long will we be stuck in this place of waiting? And why are we here to begin with? What's happening, Lord?
But even as we pray that, we know that you are right where you've always said you would be. You've never left us and you will never forsake us. You are not deaf to our cries, and we remember that you know the thoughts in our hearts even before we think them. You know exactly what is happening, why we are here, and what is going to happen next. Nothing surprises you or takes you off guard, including this pandemic that we're going through right now. You know why we are here, waiting, and you have promised to use it for your glory and our good.
So, Father, forgive us for all our doubts, our worries, and our fears. Forgive us for our impatience as we wait in this place. Forgive us for questioning the story you've written for us. And forgive us for not seeking your face and allowing the struggles before us to seem greater and stronger than your grace and mercy for each and every one of us. Cleanse our hearts of all that keeps us from you.
Lord, help us when we doubt your ways, and help us to remember that it is good to wait for you. As the prophet wrote in Lamentations, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. As we wait, help us to remember and dwell on the salvation that you've provided for us through Christ. Help us to remember that the same grace that saved us at the cross is the same grace that sustains us today. And that same grace is at work in us even now, shaping us into the image of your Son. And no matter what happens, no matter what our circumstances may be, remind us that we are safe in the shelter of your wings. There is nothing that can separate us from your love.
Grant us the joy that comes from knowing you and being known by you. Fill our hearts with joy today and strengthen us by your word. May the words of the psalmist be true of us. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. Help us to remain faithful in this place of waiting. Help us to serve you and live for you, even in these crossroads of our lives. And help us to wait as long as it takes to come through to the other side. We pray all these things because of Jesus and in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that, Tim, and thank you for spending time with me today unpacking kind of this passage from Acts and looking at various different stories of people who've waited. And, you know, by all means, please go away and look at some of the other stories of people who waited. You can likely just Google people who waited in the Bible, put it into a search engine, because there's so many stories that have so much to share with us today of people who waited and why they waited. And a common theme throughout is that God did provide them with the way out of it. God was there with them. He was there throughout the entire time that they were struggling and waiting. And I think that serves as an amazing reminder for each and every one of us today as we sort of go through this continued waiting period. Have you got anything else that you're wanting to share today, Tim?
No, just keep connected, keep strong, and keep in touch. And if there's anything we can help with, please do make contact with us as soon as possible. That would be great. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for all the encouragement, and just keep close to Jesus and allow him to do a new thing in you.
We've still got loads going on this week in our church. If you're listening to us on Wednesday, then tomorrow evening on Thursday, we're starting Alpha. If you want to get involved with it, please do head to our website, www.newcastlebaptist.org.uk. And on the home screen, you'll find a big button that says that you can sign up for Alpha Online through that link. Let us know as soon as possible and we'll hook you in with that. And then at the weekend on Sunday, obviously, we have our Sunday morning worship where we'll be looking at Pentecost in much more detail. And we'll then be meeting together afterwards for a cup of tea, cup of coffee and a cake at 11:15 after the service. So do please join us for that wonderful time of fellowship together on Sunday after the service. It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from Tim.
Oh, he's done it wrong and he's done it on purpose and he's smirking at me from the other side of the video chat that we're having. What do we need to do it differently then?
You can do goodbye from him if you like. I've just said it now. Spoiled it.
Goodbye from him.
Yeah, goodbye from Tom as well. Take care.
Take care. God bless you. Bye.